I'm Matt Godbolt.
And I'm Ben Rady.
And this is Two's Compliment, a programming podcast.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Matt.
This, as always, is our very uninspiring introduction. We say hey to each other, which is, I don't think we've never knowingly done that in person. I know that like other people will take the mickey out of us by going, hey Matt, and yeah, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I know that obviously it has become our trademark, but it is not intentional.
Yeah,
you have to have something to say at the beginning of a podcast, it turns out.
This was the best that we could do in episode
and it's the best
zero and
that
therefore
we could do in all of them from then onwards. Exactly.
Right.
So we were talking because before this we arranged, before we started talking, we kind of joined a meeting and you were still doing your day job. And then you started telling a story and I'm like, wait a second, This sounds like a podcast episode. Don't tell me now. Let's tell me with the recording going. So you finished up what you were doing.
Yeah.
And then you had a name. Do you want to even say the name thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is the name of this?
The name of this episode needs to be, Is Football Possible Anymore? and
I said, what on earth? Where's that from? What on earth? And you said, I've got a story. And then you said, we should record this. And here we are.
Yeah, yeah.
So dear listener, tell me, Ben, what the heck is this all about?
So in the heady days of the, you know, year or so before the financial crisis in 2008, I was working at a startup. And this startup was, it had like Chat GPT in its eyes. It saw it. It's like, oh, we could do a thing, but we didn't. The startup was had nothing. We had nothing. We had no.
This was 2007. You were
2007.
Saying.
Yeah.
Era. So neural networks, things that people played around with and then abandoned at this point.
Right. And so, like, you know, the glory of the LLM and the transformer and everything. I'm sure there were people that knew about them, but we were not some of those people. But what we did have was a, I'm just going to call it a parlor trick. We had a trick, and it was like a patented trick. So, you know, we had something, but it was basically this. We were building, the purpose of this startup was to build a chatbot for a database. And the idea here is that you could ask natural language English questions, just like you would with ChatGPT, honestly, these days, but specifically and only about the data in your database. And then the way this worked is it would take your natural language questions and it would map them into SQL. And then it would execute that SQL. And then it would give you a response that it thought was appropriate based on the question that you asked and the shape of the data that came back. Right?
Got it.
And so it might generate a report for you, or it might just tell you an answer. It's like the number of, you know, sales of this unit is 37, or it might do something else, right? But the intention
so questions was that people would ask would be like, yeah, give me a summary of the last 3 months of sales,
right?
That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so you're very ChatGPT ish, you know, the kind of thing I see people put into AI all the time. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. It was just very narrow, right? It was just like only about a a database, and the idea was, we're going to build a tool. You could point it at any database. It would ingest the schema. It would cache some of the data. And it would sort of build up this semantic model, which it could then use to process your questions, right?
Got it. So there was like a pre-step where you pointed it at a database and it did some investigations first and foremost. And then that's what you use to like build your parlor trick.
Yeah.
List of whatever snippets of SQL that you presumably behind the scenes were part of this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it was, you know, the whole basic idea behind it was that you'd have like this concept map. And so the concept map just related to databases, tables, and columns within the database, right? So it's like, if you're talking about sales, well, then you're talking about this table. And sometimes it was as simple as literally the name of the table is like yearly sales. But also sometimes there were some things where you had to teach it a little bit and, you know, you get a little, maybe a DBA involved and you say like, this is where
and
we
by
keep
teach
our customers.
It, you mean hard code, presumably in a big if statement. And
well, in the early days, it was that. Eventually we got it to be smarter than that. But this was sort of the project. And I worked on this for about a year, I guess it was. I don't even remember now. And so because it was so constrained, it had a tendency to hallucinate. I mean, we didn't think of it as hallucinating, but sort of retroactively now you'd be like, that's exactly what you would call it, is hallucinating, where it would like reach for information that there's no way it could possibly even have and try to like solve for it and then give you something which was like nonsense, right? And so as engineers working on this, you know, we were concerned with this problem because we didn't want it to like purport to be something that it wasn't, to have information that it didn't have. And so one of our favorite pastimes was to, you know, grab a couple of beers and then ask it stupid questions. And the sort of canonical version of this, the very first one that you'd always ask in one of these sessions is football possible anymore? Because that is not a question that even makes sense or is answerable by information in a database, or it's like, what do you even mean? And so what we were hoping to see is some sort of informative error message saying like, I don't understand what you just said because it doesn't make any sense.
I'm really sorry that I'm going to be now typing that directly into Claude 4.0 Opus, the best possible thing. Is football possible anymore? Is that the question?
That is it. Is football possible anymore?
Okay. And for, I think your cell phone is on the desk. Every time it buzzes, microphone picks it up super loud.
Oh, no. Naively and stupidly used my phone as a microphone rest, which is
idea. Hence the loud.
I don't know why anyone would do that. I'm just going to replace that with some DVDs,
okay,
which are sitting on my desk, and those are definitely not doing anything.
Claude is thinking a lot more. It's gone onto the internet now.
Oh boy.
And it says, you're asking if football is still possible. Bit of a loaded question that. From what I'm seeing in the search results, football's very much alive and kicking in 2025, although it's facing some interesting challenges depending on which side of the pond you're on. Okay, so apparently Claude can deliver some kind of question.
Yes.
Answer to this question. But
yes.
If for example, I'd given it just only the marketing results for last month's widget sales.
Right.
I might reasonably expect to say that's not a question I can answer right now.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know, the interesting thing about that startup was, there's actually a couple interesting things about that startup. One is that is maybe sort of like the most kind of like by the book extreme programming team that I have ever been on, right? Everyone on that team had worked in consultancies. I think there were a lot of thought workers there. There were some folks from
the usual suspects.
What is the name of that company? I don't know. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But they all kind of knew what they were doing when it came to things like test driven development, continuous integration, a bunch of other things.
That, you know, again, this is extreme programming, not the one where you climb a mountain and laptop. Okay,
Red Bull. There's a lot of Red Bull involved in that one. and so, like, we had a group of people that were all very like minded, that all kind of knew the same practices and knew them very well, and this, you know, that was the core engineering team. I was like the only engineering team in the startup. And it grew to about 8 people at the, maybe 9 even at the biggest.
Gosh.
And that is like the biggest, that is my example in my career of like, that's as big as I think you can make a team. If you have 9 people that all are working in the same code base, solving the same problem, and they all know these practices really, really well, and they all agree on what all the practices
super
are.
Aligned on the way to do things,
yes,
as well as what you're trying to do.
Yes, yes. And we managed to do it with 9 people. And even at 9, it was like straining at the edges, right? But that was, I think, is about as big as you can make a team before you start suffering. You're just making it worse by adding more people.
Right. I'm surprised that it got to 9. Again, you've qualified it with all of these extra like alignment and, you know, skilled people at the top of the, you know, with the same kind of mindset for approaching problems. But just in terms of the number of pairs of people to talk between, you know, that's what, 9 times 8, what are 8 nines? I don't know, over 2. That, NN plus and then minus one. Well, it's a lot of people. Yeah. It's a lot of possible.
A lot of interactions. Yeah,
a lot of lot of interactions. But you're able to make it work. And I mean, by it work, I mean the team work. But
the team was functional. Yes,
you are not currently talking to me from your private yacht. The company perhaps did not make it. What was the story there?
So this is a somewhat personal story. I don't know how much of this I want to share on the podcast.
Sure, no, that's fair.
The punchline of this story was basically that we were my wife was pregnant with our youngest at the time, and on Friday, March 13th of it would have been 2008. I'm going to screw up these dates, and it's going to be recorded for all time on this podcast. Friday, March 13th, we were finding out whether we were going to get another round of funding. My wife went into labor. It turned out to be false labor. But after a long day at the hospital and a lot of other things, called my boss that evening and said, "Hey man, do we still have a company?" And he said, "No."
Oh,
because our primary investor had decided to take all the money that he was going to put into the second round and the third round, or I don't even remember what it was, and put it into real estate instead, because real estate was falling apart and it was super cheap. And I'm like, you know what? I don't disagree with what you're doing right here.
Yeah.
I wish it would be different, but that's not how that turns out.
No. Well, that is how these things go sometimes. You know, that's what the risk of startups.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Well, you got a good story out of it.
I did.
To what extent can you talk about how it actually worked? I'm intrigued, you know, in this LLM, expert model, was it?
Right.
Held together with regular expressions and text snippets and hey, we know our three customers are X, Y, and Z, and so therefore they will talk about this. These people will talk about this other thing, and then we're just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. The parlor trick essentially was, if you take the sort of English concepts in a typical sentence, and you can map those concepts to structures in the database, which is like this again, this whole concept mapping of it needed to, like the information you needed to seed it with, and it did a decent job of finding this stuff out for itself, I think. But the information you needed to seed it with was what. Tables and columns and other things map to what concepts. And if you did that, then it's actually like a pretty limited search space of like, take this English sentence and map it into this set of related concepts.
Like you say, it's a trick. So you start from the database rather than starting from the human and say, what could they possibly mean? You go like, from the database, what things could make sense to ask of this database? And then like all these, as you say, parlor trick. But Now that's a neat way of doing it.
These days it's just like, I mean, this is why I have zero fear that somebody's going to be like, you gave away our secrets. I'm like, dude, have you seen...
Yep. Although I will say,
Claude can do? Like, come on, man.
You know, obviously, there's a lot of interesting discussion as we've had on this podcast, and I definitely don't want to revisit that just this minute. But you know, the power consumption alone of your parlor trick,
that's fair.
Fits
maybe,
onto
perhaps.
You know, a microprocessor on a cell phone. It doesn't require a data center's worth of heavy compute equipment. So there's something to be said for that, for sure. Mm-hmm. But no, that's fascinating. But like, can I ask, how did this question come into being? What was the forming for this? Because it for a minute, when you first, I'm going to be honest with you, when you first said it to me, I thought, oh gosh, is this a quote from like Ted Lasso that I haven't seen that far in the series yet? And have I just missed it? Because I obviously think of football as being the one where you use your foot and the ball. Not hand.
Yes, egg. Not hand egg. I mean,
but
it works for
it
both,
was meant
really.
In the. I mean, it does. It does, and obviously, Claude picked up on that when we asked earlier. It's like which side of the pond you're from. But do you remember how it came about?
How did this come into being? I remember this coming into being from one of the engineers on our team, Paul, who was an expert Scrabble player. And kind of like a he was just really into words. Like he just really, and like, and I think this startup for him was kind of like really cool. And then it was like, we're doing a bunch of natural language processing and like all this concept mapping.
Yeah.
And he just really loved it. And he had a way with words, I guess I would maybe say, not the way with words that you would normally associate with that phrase, but like, yeah. My memory of this, which could be completely false, is that he came up with that phrase as a way to kind of poke at this thing that we were building.
Right.
And we're like, oh my God, that's
drawing on his sort of like deeper understanding of the things that you were doing with the natural language and how it was processed. He's like, well, what would trip this up the worst? This is what is the unit test?
Yes.
This thing.
Yes.
That exercises the worst possible behavior because there's no concept in this sentence that maps to anything remotely like a database. So
I think it actually sort of works on two levels too, which is this, like, it's sort of a nonsensical question regardless of your data set, right? Like what? And then if you add in the additional constraint of it's going to have to take this and map it to a schema that's probably about, like, you know, employees or sales records or some other sort of mundane thing that is probably not sports. Although I do remember baseball being one of the data sets.
I was going to say, there's a danger that with the right kind of database, this might actually make sense.
I feel, you know, like you could look at some MLB database that we would test that thing with.
And sales cost, incoming ticket revenue versus cost of running a game. And then is football possibly? No, we lose money on every game.
Definitely not possible. No, I hadn't thought about this until just now, but I seem to recall that we had this, it was like player statistics from the MLB. And it was like, you know, it's like the color commentator in a baseball game. It's like, oh, this pitcher has an ERA of 1.3. I'm just making up numbers. I don't know anything about baseball. Against, you know, right-handed batters in the East Coast over the last 4 years. And it's like, how does anyone know these
right.
things?
Right.
And so we were like putting that guy out of a job by building this thing that could take, you know, the MLB stats and give you like all kinds of crazy things based off of it.
Right. Like, did you know that this is the highest scoring game on a Thursday where it's raining since?
Right.
And you're like, what? Right. Yeah. When people come up with this nonsense, you think there is definitely, there's got to be a market for it. So yeah, you were trying to put that person out of a job, but evidently you perhaps.
We failed. So they still have a job and everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. No, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, now you've explained to me that football may or may not be possible anymore. And I don't know quite where to take it from here now, other than maybe is that the end of what we got here? I think it might be.
I think it might be. I mean, you know, if there's a takeaway from all of this, it's you're probably not going to get things right the first time. That's sort of like the way that I think about it is, you know, back in 2007, we were building this thing and we were like, this is going to be really cool and all that stuff. But we also knew that it was a startup and this was iteration one. And it's like, you know, okay, the chances of this actually taking off are not high. We didn't really expect the Spanish Inquisition. No, we didn't really expect the
well, nobody does. I mean,
financial. Right. We didn't really expect the financial crisis to come and smack us in the face. But even without that, it's sort of like when you're building new technology, you know, I think we've said on this podcast before, nothing new ever works. The way to get something working is to get the new off of it as quickly as you possibly can. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think when you could take away a lesson of like, when you're building technology like this, it's speculative, it's probably not going to work, but you will learn things. And when you learn things, then version two can be a little bit better. And you repeat that process over and over and over again. And then eventually you get things like Claude answering like, well, depending on what side of the pond you're on, it may or may not be possible.
Gosh. Well, that seems like a decent conclusion to this. I was wondering where we were going to go with it, actually. You know, like, I mean, given our, you know, again, comprehensive planning, this seems like a good place where we need to leave it. So
I would say so.
Till next time.
Till next time.
You've been listening to Two's Compliment, a programming podcast by Ben Rady and Matt Godbolt. Find the show transcript and notes at www.twoscompliment.org. Contact us on Mastodon. We are at twoscompliment@hackyderm.io. Our theme music is by Inverse Phase. Find out more at inversephase.com.
All right, I'd just like to give myself work to do in the edit.
Right.